There have been numerous meetings of late as men gather and try to create a formula for peace. The government leaders have all wanted to bring some substantive solutions to our financial problems that are worldwide, to the hatred that is affecting so many nations, peoples against peoples. We find that there is a tremendous amount of anarchy. There are sit-ins in our own nation reminding us of the 1960s. There is a lot of difficulty. There was a time in life when there was one man who was the leader of nations upon nations, and he had a dream about his part and how things were going to come together as he was the leader at that time. He was Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 2, there is a story of the dream that he had of a great image. In Daniel 2, we find in verse 1, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep broke from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. His advisors, as you see them here, are all from what I would call the dark side. These are not people of faith in the true God. These are worshipers of the demons. But these advisors were called, and he said to them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. I want to know what it was about, because I feel it was important. Well, they responded to him, and they said, O king, live forever, or long live the king. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. He could not recall the dream. But if you will make known unto me the dream and with the interpretation thereof, if you can't do that, oh, you'll be cut into pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. He's rather impetuous, coming to a quick conclusion. You either help me or you're dead. It was that important to him. But if you will show me the dream and the interpretation, you'll receive gifts, rewards, great honor. So show me the dream and the interpretation. Then answered the king and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and then we'll show the interpretation of it. But the king then replied, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing has gone from me. He says, you know that I can't recall it, and you're just going to spend time, and you really aren't going to get around to the business of what I want done. So if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I will know that you can show me the interpretation. Well, the Chaldeans responded to the king and said, well, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. There is no king, no lord, nor ruler that asks such things that any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. It's indeed a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none that can show it to you, except that there are gods that could do that. But these gods don't dwell with flesh. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth, and the wise men should then be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel, and wisdom, talking to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone out to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said, Arioch, why is the decree so hasty from the king? So Arioch then made the thing known to David, to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give time, that he would show the king the interpretation. So Daniel then went into the house and made the thing known to his companions, that they would have desires of mercies of God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Now in the King James Version, this uses clearly the word secret. A secret was revealed in vision to Daniel. There had been a vision Nebuchadnezzar had had, but he couldn't recall it. When we look at these scriptures, I think sometimes we look at the bigger part of with interest of this image with its head of gold, and we'll go there and we'll talk about that. But do you ever realize that some things that you have and you understand on a personal level are secrets? Secrets that others do not understand. So it says in verse 18, concerning the secret that his people wouldn't be able to find out about it, and he was found out. Then God revealed the secret. What secrets has God revealed to you? What do you hold on your lap in your black book? What secrets have you seen in this book that have been revealed to you and that you then are able to respond to? Understanding dreams is something that belongs to God. I want to read for you in the case of Joseph from Genesis chapter 40, verse 8. Genesis 40, verse 8 says this, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Interpretations belong to God. And God gave a meaning to the dream for Daniel to explain to Nebuchadnezzar. When a secret was revealed to you from the pages in this book, God then gave you an understanding. He revealed to you those words and gave meaning to what you were reading. We call that inspiration. It is God inspiring your mind. And so he changed the times, he says, verse 21. He changed his times and the seasons. God removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Our president today, our president of four, the one that comes in the next election, are seated by the great God. And while Democrats and Republicans and third parties may think they have something to do with it, it is a great God that seats kings, raises them up. And it is the same great God that gives to the wise wisdom and knowledge. And so, even in our personal lives here, specifically, you and me, when we think we have an understanding and a wisdom from God, it's because it's something that's been given to us. It says in 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. He knows those sordid things that are trying to plague you. He knows of Satan's efforts to buffer you in the wrong direction. He knows when you need to pray for assistance. Scriptures tell us of those things. That long before we have said the prayer, He knows what we need. Now, we're not predestined with every event, but God does give us an opportunity. So Daniel said in 23, I thank you and praise you, O God, God of my fathers, which has given me wisdom and might and have made known unto me what we desire of you, for you have made known unto us the king's matter. There are things that you know about tomorrow, in the wider sense of tomorrow, the kings would wish to know. You know what is about to happen to our world as the bankruptcies of all parts of our society fall across the axe. Verse 24, so Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and he went and said, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show to the king the interpretation. So Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and quickly he said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation of it? And he answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers, magicians, soothsayers show it to you? No, they can't. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And so I again point the finger into our lives, and we need to astir our minds and realize some things have been given to us for which we can be ultimately and eternally responsible. The calling that He has given each of us is immensely personal. And what He is going to do with societies as they crumble and the wheels come off, He knows that too. And He knows what you should be doing about that. He knows the importance of that knowledge. He has created an opportunity for each of us. So He is in heaven revealing secrets. And makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the visions of your head upon the bed are these. As for you, O king, your thoughts came into your mind upon the bed, what should come to pass hereafter. Now, the things that are going to come to pass hereafter, in the latter days, as said in the previous verse, prophecy. A lot of the Bible is prophecy, and many of those prophecies you have some understanding of. There's areas where we're still coming to understand, I'm sure. But many things about the ways of man and what is going to happen next, you have intimate knowledge of because you read this book. At least you should have that kind of knowledge, as I should have. But He reveals in secrets, making known to you what shall come to pass. God revealed to this man, Nebuchadnezzar, then, through Daniel, the secrets of prophecy. He's revealed certain secrets to you. He's brought to your attention the need for baptism, immersion. He's brought to your mind the need for conversion and change. He's brought to your mind the understanding of how Christ died for you individually, and that no other person can do for you what Jesus has done. It isn't a thing that mankind would come up with and say, okay, you die, you're sinless, you die, and all of mankind's sins are forgiven. That isn't the way that we would solve these things. It isn't a manly way. No, that's only from God. And so He's revealed some very important secrets to us on an intensely personal level. And they branch and grow forward as the vine covers the wall, so that we know so many other things. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any other living person, but for their sakes. God wants this for the sake of mankind, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. And so it is important for your heart to be molded by these secrets. Your heart is able to be changed. You're able to take on a heart that isn't filled with stone, but a heart with feeling and faith. So he saw these great things, an image, he says, a great image, terrible in the sense of awesome, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. And the image's head was of fine gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And you saw till the stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, there was no place found for them. And the stone that was smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now you know that this image that has been depicted here is an illustration of the great governments of mankind, of the empires that have ruled for a long time. But it says they're going to come to its end because there is a stone cut out that is going to smack it on its feet, and it's going to fall and become so much dust. Over in Isaiah, if you wish to turn with me, keeping a finger in Daniel 2. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. It'll come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in this book of Isaiah, we find that that stone is going to come and give us a great mountain. It will be the ways of God in the millennium, moving into then the kingdom of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, the first four verses, Deuteronomy 32:1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, much speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are our judgment, a God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. Christ is going to come and establish his kingdom. This is a secret that most of the world is not aware of. And our job as spokesmen, as those that are carrying forth a message is to let that be known to mankind, to preach the gospel, preparing a people. It isn't a matter of hoping that the whole world repents and comes to a knowledge of these things, although that would be our prayer, but our opportunity is to let the world know that the Christ will return, and governments that are established and perfect will come. Over in Micah chapter 4, Micah chapter 4, this will sound very familiar to you in verses 1 and 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Very similar to what you found in Isaiah, if not identical. Here was a man, as pagan as they come, Nebuchadnezzar, and God revealed to him and gave him a vision, which then Daniel showed the meaning of, that he was a head of gold. That here a very imperfect person became aware of the truths of God. And here we, as ones that are walking towards perfection, perfecting our ways on a daily activity of repentance, we should know these things and be aware that this Christ will return. Sometimes in the past, I've mentioned to you, it's been a while now since I've done any faceting, but I have learned a skill of faceting semi-precious stones. And how you grind off very precisely the edges of to make a gem beautiful. And you have to cut out that which is not beautiful. And you have to let the opportunity to come for the pavilion and the sparkles to come up out of the stone. God is going to give us beauty, that is for sure. Over in Acts chapter 4. We're in Micah 4, now Acts 4, verses 10 and 11. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. As well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So when we read in Daniel that this stone is cut out without hands and comes and smites the image, that's Jesus Christ returning to rule all governments on this earth and become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So when we read in those verses, here we are now in 35, the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It's Christ coming to rule. And so in 36, this is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. You, king, are that King of Kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. What has he given you? Repentance, conversion, a daily opportunity for a relationship with him through prayer, an opportunity to read his word. And whatsoever the children of men... Wherever the children of men dwell, the peace of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given into your hand. He's let us have dominion over everything that reproduces after its kind. All seeds, all flora, all fauna, all animals, anything that reproduces after its kind, we can have dominion over. And he's made you ruler over all things. You are the head of gold. So Nebuchadnezzar was part of God's plan. No matter how small you might be in comparison to Nebuchadnezzar, you too are part of God's plan. And he's shown you some secrets. And after you, there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, and it shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And we find ourselves living at a crossroads in history where this, as prophecy, is nearing its opportunity. You look at what has happened in Europe with 23 nations and it's coming apart. How it will reconform is a guess, but there is a time for reforming there in its near future. And so it behooves us to watch. It behooves us to tell as the watchman, tell the world what is going on. So in 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. The kingdoms are going to break up. Revelation 11:15 talks about how these kingdoms have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and that he will reign forever and ever. For as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, in a break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, going in the opposite discussion previous, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. He's made known to you. He's made known to you what will happen if you do not continue. He's made known to you what will happen if you do continue. So it says, the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof sure. There are so many important things for us to consider. We are living in a time when the secrets that God has given to us, we should not just hold in our hand, but we should see the varieties of them that there are. Use what we need personally and then show the rest of the secrets to the societies around us. 46, and the king Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel, and he answered in 47, Daniel, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets. See, you could reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him gifts and made him rule over the whole province, and the three friends were made rulers over the affairs of the province, but Daniel was set into the gate of the king. And that's the chapter. Now what about us? And are our understandings as sure as they should be? Over in this Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. You're familiar with, probably have marked up verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Daniel couldn't provide the answers to this except God revealed them to him. And God has revealed himself to you. God has drawn you. I will raise him up at the last day. That's the hope of our, and that's the promise to us if we continue. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. We look for that day. So are we moving in that direction personally so that we can make hay for all mankind, make peace when that time comes? We need to take this home and think about it for the week, because there are secrets that have been revealed. What secrets has he written down for you? If you have a chance, if it's something you're inclined to do, write your list of secrets this week. What secrets has God revealed to you? And what secrets should you then be revealing to others through your example, through your words, through your workplace? What secrets do you possess that you can pass on to others? Do a little inventory. We are called by God. In the next few verses down, turning the page, John 6, verse 63. It is a spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. So God's Spirit is in you and has made some things alive for you. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. And you'll find that in life, and hopefully you've escaped that. You've taken the road that leads to belief. For Jesus Christ knew from the beginning who would believe not and who would betray him. Excuse me. And it's possible for us to put on that cloak of betrayal. Stay away from it, please. He said, therefore, I say to you, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. There it is again. You have been given this. What secrets have you been given about your life? What has God revealed to you about how you need to change something specific and peculiar to yourself? Over in John 7, verse 28. Jesus lifts his voice up and he just yells in the temple, you both know me and you know from where I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, I am from him, he sent me. God has sent you on some mission, personal or collective. Subjective or compassionately, he sent you to help others. Where has God sent you? What can you do? It's something that you write in that inventory. Is it simply working on yourself because that's big enough for you to do right now? Or is there more that you could do? Are there people that you know where your example is being set? What can you do? In conclusion, let's read the first 12 verses of John 9. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did the sin, the man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, this man didn't sin, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. That's why this is this way. He's born so that there can be something happen in his life. He's been born for a purpose. It's very possible that some of us must advance our mind to that point and realize that we could be born for a purpose. And that requires getting self out of the way. It requires submission. It requires doing the work of God. It requires being a vessel to His glory and honor. Verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night comes when no man can work. How long? As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had spoken these things, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with that clay. He mixed water and dirt. And that's what we're baptized in, water, and the dirt is there. It is left. And he said unto him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. And so he went away and washed, and he came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and those that were before that had seen him that he was blind, said, well, isn't that the guy that sat and begged at the gate? Some said, yeah, that's him. Others said, no, it just looks like him. I don't think it's really him, because this guy sees. So they said to him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. So they said to him, where is he? And he says, I don't know where he's gone. This is a story for us about where we live and who we live with. Blindness is on the face of the earth. And our great people will gather themselves and find some financial solution or not. Find some political solution or not. But you have the secret. You do know the solution. You know it personally for your life, and you know the solution for all mankind. You have a secret. You have a job to do with that secret. The world will fail because you know the secret. It's intensely important that you do not fail. You are the survivors, the successors. You are the kings and priests of a coming kingdom. Live your secret. Move forward in the secret. Open your mind and your ways to follow what you know to be the secret for your life.